Welcome to Comedians Talking Sports presents Comedians Talking Baseball. I was real slick on that one. Stuttered there for you because I realized I didn't mute the television in the background. We got the Blue Jays and Rangers. Game one going on in the background. I'm Joe Kilgallen. That's Mike Bridenstine.
Hello.
How are you there, Brido?
I'm fucking great.
Dude, I like that. You were in the W dog tags with the Cubs W logo on that. I like that a lot.
My boy Drex gave this to me.
Oh, that's nice, man. Drex is his name?
Jason Drexler.
Cool. I got a buddy named Drex.
And it's got my name on it. It's got my name on one of the dog tags.
Damn, what a good friend there.
I know. So when the world ends, when the Cubs win this year.
There you go. I hear it, even though I don't do that anymore.
Aliens.
I told you I stopped. I used to knock on wood.
I'm ready to talk about this.
Talk about that. Hold on. You gave a shout out to your boy. I got to give a shout out to my guy, Benjamin Statch. Is that how you pronounce your last name?
Hold Statch?
On. Yeah, like, Statch. S-T-A-C-H.
Like, caught a case Statch. Of, like, she was a little young. I might catch some Statch.
Like, some Statch. Yeah, Statch story rape. Oh, jeez, that's horrible. Benjamin, I'm sorry that Brido did that to your name. I would never do
Is
that.
Is his last name Statch?
It's S-T-A-C-H. How else would you pronounce that? Benjamin Statch. Is that funny a last name?
Well,
you're, like, giggling like a child right now.
Because that's what scumbags would be like, man. Can't
you
go
You used
there.
To do that a lot. I remember when I first saw you doing stand-up, you would abbreviate a lot of words.
I like to.
Like, what's the sitch? Did you used to say that?
I don't probably.
No.
Who knows?
You'd say probs, mabes.
Probs. Probs not but mabes.
Yeah. Probs not but mabes. I remember you saying that a lot. All right. That was a fun young Brido back in the day. Well, I want to thank him because I think I mentioned this, but I want to mention it again. When I was back in Chicago a few weeks ago, he got me on the field at Wrigley Field. Myself and comedian Danny Kales.
Oh,
we got to go on the grass.
I saw those pictures.
We got to go, like, you know, right, little VIP section.
I wondered who
and he
was.
Got me. He got me this Cubs program signed by Pat Hughes and Ron Coomer.
That's
Pat
great.
Hughes is maybe the greatest radio announcer, right now that Vince Scully's gone, but Vin was on TV. Well, Vin would go back and forth.
Yeah.
Remember when we were kids, Harry Carey would do the first three innings on TV, then switch over to radio and then come back?
He'd come back and sound different.
Ooh, a couple beers into him, I think.
Yeah.
Got a little looser. Well, you guys can follow us on Twitter at Comedy Sports Pod. Follow myself at Joe Kilgallen. Follow Brido at Brido. Real simple for you.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, review us on iTunes. It goes a long way. Today is a very special episode. It is today game one have started the divisional series, but this is our playoff preview episode.
Yeah.
Blue Jays Rangers going on right now. A little bit later, we got Boston versus Cleveland.
Yep.
And tomorrow we'll have the day game is Nationals Dodgers and the night game is the Chicago Cubs hosting the San Francisco Giants.
Yes, sir.
Would you like to lead off talking about the wild card games? Then we could get into superstition
sure.
stuff.
We're
and we could give our final predictions for awards. Also, I listened to our preseason podcast, our baseball preview one.
Yeah.
We were pretty good overall.
Yeah.
I'm a little mad at myself because there was one that you talked me out of.
Oh.
The thing is, I remember that day, you were a little more, I remember you rattling off.
I talked you into the Rangers.
Well, I know I screwed that up. I said Astros Rangers. I said Astros division Rangers wild card, and you're like, how could you? And then when you said that, I looked at my notes, and I'm like, no, I wrote it down Rangers.
Okay.
I just said it wrong.
Okay.
I speak incorrectly sometimes or out of turn, out of line even. And but you, I said the Red Sox. I liked the Red Sox, and you
I
were kind
you out of
like, yeah. And only I think because I knew you were more prepared that day. You had all these Fangraph stats right off the top of your head. You're like, you really think so? They had a bad year last year. They got this. What? Just because they had a David Price? I remember being like, all right.
They
all
were
right,
last place team 2 years in a row.
Yeah, but they were not 2 years in a row. They won the World Series in 2013. Were they last place 2014 and 2015?
I believe so.
Damn, was it 2 years in a row?
I think that. Well,
you might. But they were out of the playoffs.
And everybody had. Everybody predicts the Red Sox every year.
That's true. They're like the Patriots where it's just that's your go-to.
Same city even.
Yeah, exactly. Obnoxious fans.
And I think that their fan base tends to create enthusiastic fans who go on into careers in, say, an organization in Connecticut.
ESPN.
Yeah.
See, the Red Sox, Yankee, that East Coast bias. Yeah. I mean, I know a lot of Boston fans who are great.
Sure,
the thing is, they won so much in such a short decade that I think everyone just got annoyed with that
city winning. We are like a brethren with them, but they're like the brother that went off and became like a stockbroker, and we're still doing open mics.
Yeah, that's exactly it. Or why are they out of comedy? I thought you would have said we started open mics together, and they're doing Netflix specials, and we're like, oh, I'm opening
that could
at
be a better
Bar
analogy.
Lubitsch
that
on
could
Friday.
Be a better analogy.
I think it's a much better analogy.
Well,
the crowd is getting loud in the background. We got bases loaded here. 2-0 Jays in the top of the third.
Two down,
1-2 count. Cole Hamels looking in. Cole Hamels is a handsome man. I'm not afraid to admit that at all.
He is handsome.
So I said the reason I think I like Boston is because I remember looking at – I thought they were a team of underperformers last year.
Yeah, I just – every year they got chosen – there's no reason David Ortiz did what he did this year at age 40 to be the best hitter. Come on.
Yeah, I mean, nobody saw that coming. That's true. But, well, I mean, Mookie Betts having a good year, you could see coming.
I wanted to.
Bradley Jr. having a solid year, you could see coming.
I wanted to doubt that. Xander Bogaerts really fell off, but I didn't expect the Killer Bees dominance that everybody predicted. I didn't see David Price coming in and fixing all their problems. I certainly didn't see Kimbrel coming in and fixing their problems. And both of those guys actually underdelivered. So if you're going to tell me that I was supposed to see the first half of Steven Wright, a knuckleballer who basically won his way into the fifth spot in the rotation in spring training, and Rick Porcello to be like a top three pitcher in the league, no.
No, I'm not saying that you
Clay
Buckle
saw
sucks. It coming. I'm saying I should have had more conviction. I should have more resolve in my convictions. You know what I mean? I should have said, no, it's Boston. I did say I'd like Detroit to compete for the wild card, and I thought that got poo-pooed by you as well a little bit.
I'm sure we all saw the Orioles.
Oh, whoa, well, she alligator-armed it. What a bum. Oh, this is all right, everyone. Is that going to clear him?
Three score? Oh, this is not the same intense games that we saw in the wild card.
Well, it is only game one, but Cole Hamels is now getting up five runs in 2 2/3.
And they're
that
a
was
top
a double
heavy
with the bases
rotation.
Loaded.
You Darvish.
A good center fielder makes that catch, though.
I just turned in a blog with my predictions, and I took the Jays for this series.
For this series? Oh, he knew that ball was hit, too. But tell me a good center fielder doesn't make this catch. I mean, he had a long way to run.
You don't think Ian Desmond's a good?
Not on that play.
Yeah.
Look at this. He slows down. He got afraid of the wall.
Yeah.
He did. On that play.
He didn't ball, wall, ball.
No, he did not. Desmond, he's a good center fielder overall, though.
Yeah. He didn't ball, wall, ball. He ball, wall, walled.
And now he's going to ball, but with the ball to bang, to bang, diggy.
Oh.
Diggy said up, they drop the boogie.
Oh.
I don't know. Is that how that goes?
Oh, yeah.
Is that how that goes?
Yeah.
All right. Well, let's talk about the wild card games first, then we'll argue more about our predictions and whatnot, I'm sure.
Okay.
Wednesday night or Tuesday night was the first wild card game. It was Jays versus Orioles, Battle of the Birds, up in Toronto. We are the North, which I don't think is a very good slogan, Toronto.
The North of the North remembers.
We the North or something like that. I don't.
Labatt Blue can coming at your head.
I guess. I don't know what they're doing there, but that's their slogan they're going with. It's a little weird because they're in a whole other country. So, like, when I hear We're the North, I'm thinking, are they trying to get, like, a North-South thing going?
That confused the shit out of my wife.
When they held up the thing saying We the North?
No, she's like, where are they? And I'm like, Toronto. And she's just like, do they not have their own baseball league? And I was like, well, they actually had two teams.
Yeah.
I was like, basketball has.
Yeah, let's sneeze attack
hockey
on right
now. And hockey has Canadian teams. And she's just like, really?
Yeah. Well, kind of like a North American union in that sense. We figured, hey, there's markets there. Why not?
Yeah.
There are friendly neighbors of the North. But why not a team in Mexico City? Huh? Is that a little racism? Is that Trump's America?
I think their travel schedule is already bananas.
Mexico City is pretty far down
it
in
is,
Mexico,
yeah,
too.
Yeah.
It's not like if what's that city right by El Paso? Juarez, which is like a murder capital.
Yeah, let's have
a team there. Tijuana. I'm trying to think. There's not really any big northern Mexico cities.
Dodgers?
Yeah. Yeah, you're right. LA is
Padres.
Basically. San Diego is northern Mexico. You are correct, sir.
Yeah.
Great game. A very exciting finish, needless to say. I mean, the final score was 4-3, I believe. No, was it
5-2?
5-2.
It was a three-run bomb.
It was a three-run bomb walk-off from Encarnacion. Mm-hmm. And
the
one
parrot.
Of those,
the parrot.
One of those shots, too, where right when he hit it, he just got to stand there.
Hands up.
Throw that bat in the air.
Third most famous home run in Blue Jays history?
Joe Carter, number one, of course.
Joey Bats flipping
it. Go crazy. Joey Bats last season, and then now Encarnacion. And it was incredible. But the big story is Buck
Showalter.
No one's going to
remember. Yeah, I would feel bad for you, Baldo. He threw five pitches.
And gave him, what,
three hits?
Well, one was a double even, right?
Travis singled. Donaldson singled.
Oh, they're both singles. That's right.
Encarnacion goes bomb.
Bomb shot. Single, bomb shot.
Yeah.
And Batista homered earlier in the game, too. That guy's got a nice little playoff record going.
Yeah, he does.
Or playoff numbers going, I should say.
Trumbo. I assume that we would see home runs in that game.
Yeah, they're both very powerful offenses.
I feel bad for you, Baldo, who actually pitched well in September. He was hands down the worst pitcher in baseball in the first half.
Yes.
For worst starter. But he pitched well. There were people arguing that he should have started the game over Tillman. None of that's going to matter. People are going to be talking about is Buck.
Yeah. What are you doing? Not putting in the best relief pitcher in the game, you could argue. He definitely has the best numbers of any relief pitcher in the
one
game.
One earned run since April 30th.
And what was he saving it for? Was he thinking if we could get a lead?
He's managing for a save. He's managing for the save.
So stupid.
It's a made-up stat for a made-up position.
Everything's made up. The game itself is made up. So it's so dumb to me.
You put your best pitcher in the fucking game. You put him in the sixth.
Sorry about that, everybody. I had to pause because my dog was asking for food. Anyhow, you're right. You could put him in the sixth inning.
You put him in whenever they're threatening. He's their best pitcher. He could go three innings. What do you got? I mean, what?
Yeah, you had the couple days off.
Yeah, he gets paid for a save. I know that his agent wants like a save. You don't always have a save situation, but he's always going to be like
that's why the save stat. That's why you and I and most sabermetrics guys are very frustrated with the idea of the save stat, because sometimes the save could be in the seventh inning, the game could be on the line, isn't always on the line in the ninth.
Yeah.
And did we not see how well the Royals did last season, managing their bullpen,
right?
And the idea of bring him in the eighth, bring him in the seventh. You could control a game if you have a bullpen of studs.
Somebody said something like 80% of the results that he's gotten, that Britton has gotten, are ground balls or strikeouts.
So when they get the lead,
two guys on,
first and second, that's when you bring him in. I mean, I still think you should bring him in to start the inning. Because how could you look yourself in the mirror knowing I lost a do or die game without using my best pitcher?
And like the thing is, Buck Showalter is considered this master strategist,
yes.
Who's like, who thinks deeply about every situation before, that they come up. I guess it had worked for him to bring in like people for long innings, maybe because Gibbons brought in Liriano to go long innings. He was like, I'll match you guy for guy.
That's a bad move.
Jimenez had pitched well recently, but you ended the game.
Is Buck Showalter the Clayton Kershaw of the playoffs? It's great regular season, and then when he gets there, he chokes. I like to bring up Kershaw's playoff woes, because I know you're such a huge Kershaw guy.
I'm a huge Kershaw guy.
It's just fun to do. Sometimes you're like,
I trolled you.
I was just for fun.
You trolled me.
I'm a Kershaw fan too. I have an unopened bobblehead of his. I still have it in the case because that could be worth money one day. That could be a semester of preschool for my child. I don't know how much I could get for a Kershaw bobblehead. It was a ball game giveaway, so they only have 40,000
like
made.
Probably like $1 million.
$1 million?
Yeah.
Or why am I doing this podcast
still? I don't know.
Why am I wasting my time?
I don't know.
I do like that Joe Madden shirt you're wearing. I wanted to mention that on there.
Thank you.
Because I felt like I should have brought
it up. I like your Nirvana shirt.
Thank you, man. It's pretty good. It's from Target. Some people would give you, that's not real, But I have, a lot of Nirvana shirts, so my authenticity of Nirvana is cool.
Yeah, it looks like it's good material.
It's very soft.
Yeah.
It's a very soft, good thread count, perhaps. Yeah. I don't really know what I'm
talking
about.
One of those American Apparel shirts with the soft tees.
American Apparel shirts are made in America. You got to appreciate that.
Yeah.
Unless you want all of our jobs in China.
China.
All right. So, I don't know how Buck Showalter, I used to call him the Doug Collins of Major League Baseball managers, because he was always the guy that would get a team close and then leave.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
He was the Yankees manager before they fired him. Brian Torrey won all those titles.
What would Dusty
Baker
be?
The Diamondbacks, right, too? Dusty Baker.
What's the opposite of
the Lovie Smith?
Greg Popovich.
I think Dusty Baker's the opposite of Greg Popovich. I compare Dusty Baker to Lovie Smith because, like Lovie Smith in the NFL, he was a guy that the players love playing for. I've said this on the podcast before.
Okay.
You like playing for him the same way you like a boss that lets you do whatever you want.
Yeah.
It doesn't make him a good boss. You like working for him, though.
Dusty
Baker. It's easy. He doesn't give me a hard time. No discipline.
Dusty Baker lets you eat all your Halloween candy in 30 minutes.
Yes. That's what he does. And then later, he's like, well, I don't know why his stomach's hurt. I don't understand. Maybe his stomach.
Why'd you let him eat all that shit?
I didn't know he was on a candy count. I didn't know I was supposed to.
What am I supposed to? He was doing so well eating that candy.
We're going to.
He ate 160 candy bars. We have other houses to go to. He didn't want to stop.
He's a horse out there. I had to keep letting him eat that candy.
Yeah.
It is funny. So the other wild card game was last night.
Yeah.
And wow, what a pitcher's duel that was. If you get off on pitcher's duel, oh, baby, you had a boner until the eighth.
And I did.
And you did. I, unfortunately, was driving out to a show in a town I can't pronounce, Escondido. You ever take a gig because you're like, oh, I think I know where that is. And then you look at the map and you're like, oh, that's in San Diego. I'm going to. I did not realize I had to go to San Diego tonight.
Oh, of course. In my first four years here, I would be going to places
with traffic.
Yeah, oh,
it took me almost 3 hours to get there.
Holy fuck!
It was. Ugh. I mean, nice people who ran it, and ended up being fun, even though it was a small crowd and stuff like that. But because I'm going through all these mountains, because I had to like go, I had to take like the 210 to the 15, and the 15, which is also the highway you can take to go to Vegas. Took the 15 down.
What did I do? I did a Flappers in some goddamn
Claremont
suburb. Yeah.
That's farther than you think, too. Yeah.
It was dry, too.
There's no booze?
No booze.
Claremont's a dry. How can you have a comedy club where it's dry?
And I headlined, and then when I got there, they had no idea who I was. I wasn't on the list.
But you were the headliner.
And they were like a dick to me.
Ugh.
And then I called my manager at the time, and then I got, then all of a sudden, like 10 minutes later, I got this like apologetic host. Who was like, do whatever time you want. And I was like, I'll do the 7 you gave me.
Yeah, and I'm going to get the hell out of here.
Got paid the same.
Sure. Yeah, good move on your part. I was supposed to do 30. I think I cut it short. I'm like, I want to get back to civilization after this. I mean, they're nice people. I don't want to dog any, but they're
listening. No. I do like the Flappers people. I don't know who the guy was either, but he was a dick. It wasn't Flappers' fault. This guy was a dick.
Well, that was a long time ago, so hopefully he's not there anymore. Hopefully he's dead.
He's probably dead. I don't remember who it was.
So I'm driving through the mountains, so I was losing reception at like the most exciting parts. You know what? Syndergaard had a no-hitter going into the sixth?
Into the sixth. He hit about 100 pitches after 7. And they had to go, and then Addison Reed and Jeris Familia, who are very good.
He was striking out too many people, Syndergaard. If he would have struck out a few less people, he could have pitched into the eighth or ninth.
Yeah.
See, that's the argument I hear from some people.
And the Mets were aggressive against Bumgarner, so he had like 20 pitches after 8 innings.
Yeah, I know. It's hilarious. And Bumgarner could have pitched 11. I was getting texts from people.
Oh,
I couldn't answer them. I saw all your texts, our group.
Yeah.
And then my cousins have a group thread going. So I literally, at one point, had to stop to get gas and saw like 27 missed texts.
Everyone's a Cubs fan all of a sudden on my text messages. Listen,
oh, yeah?
Joe, you've been there from the beginning.
We've done it for 2 years now, this text messaging thread.
Yeah.
I want to say since like All-Star Break of 2015, we got on board.
Yeah, I was in random little groups, and then finally this one got put together. I don't remember the genesis of our group, but I know that I was texting with...
I can't remember who started it. McGowan, maybe? He looped in, or maybe you started it.
Maybe I looped you in, because I know that you and Dwyer didn't know each other.
Well, we met each other a couple of years ago, and we didn't know each other enough to... Because you know, be texting
the only reason I know that is because he was just like, Joe, have we met? And I was just like, oh, Dwyer.
Yeah, we did. I was the MC. He featured, and Dave Koechner was the headliner at the Laugh Factory in Chicago in 2012, I want to say.
Nice.
And we had a good time, and we went out for drinks afterwards as a big group, but I'm sure I could see him forgetting that.
Sure.
He is a raging alcoholic, after all. I'm kidding, Dwyer. So I couldn't watch the game. I was just listening to it. The announcers were good. The radio guys were good. I'll give them that. They painted a good picture. It's not. I could tell, though, because he was striking out so many guys, and it made me think to myself, now, a lot of advanced stats reward the strikeout because it's an absolute thing. You know what I mean? Strikeouts, walks, home runs for pitchers.
Sure.
But think about it this way. Isn't it better, more beneficial to be a ground ball pitcher because you could go deeper in the game, thus keeping you in longer? It's tough, right? Because the ground ball pitcher theory is, well, you can't really control where the ball is.
Right.
Ground balls have eyes. Sometimes they get to the hole and all this stuff. So it's better to strike the guy out because there's no chance of anything happening.
Hamels just gave up another home run.
Damn, to Upton Jr. I like his little renaissance he's having. He's still not a very good player, but... God, I remember 2 years ago, he was batting like 148 for a season or something awful.
His brother got red hot at the end of the year.
Yeah, his brother's always been the better of the two.
Justin.
But I remember BJ, who's now known as Melvin.
Melvin, yeah.
When he, that 1 year with Tampa, didn't he have like 6 home runs in the playoffs or something like that?
I honestly get them confused.
He was sick. I got to look that up. I got to look him up, how good he was in the playoffs.
Madison Bumgarner's storyline going from the second that he went back out for the ninth after that home run by Connor Gillespie, and to today, the legend of Madison Bumgarner. And don't get me wrong. What's he supposed to do, like not be awesome?
Yeah.
I mean, but fucking shut up. Everybody shut up about him. Thor's a better pitcher. I would take him 10 times out of 10. I know what happened. The Mets have, and I texted this to you guys, the Mets were tied for 25th in the majors in runs scored this year with the Milwaukee Brewers. Let's not act like he fucking pitched a perfect game against the Red Sox.
Yeah.
Yes.
So you really take Syndergaard 10 times out of 10 over Bumgarner?
I am probably being hyperbolic.
You're being a little bit with that.
Yeah.
I know you're saying, though, Syndergaard had a better year.
Yeah.
Not a lot better. But a better year. Both great pitchers.
They're both elite pitchers. And I think that this win last night actually gets Bumgarner into the Hall of Fame when he qualifies.
Yeah. I mean, his playoff numbers are sick. I mean, his regular season numbers are great, too.
He's the best. Yeah, he's the best
postseason
pitcher ever.
Yeah.
I mean.
Ahead of Bob Gibson now. Does he have as many innings as Bob Gibson, though?
I heard somebody argue Smoltz just because he'd been there so often.
Spoltz is the most where he's got the biggest sample size. You know,
right,
that's a big argument.
But this guy's done it every time he's been there. I get that.
Yeah, he's consistent. That's for sure.
It's just fucking okay.
Which also means he's due to get
and
shelled.
And really, I don't like Bumgarner anyway. I think he's a racist. I think he's a grouchy, hillbilly piece of trash from Hickory, North Carolina, telling minorities not to look at him while he pitches. He's a piece of trash.
I know. He probably is. But do you really think he... You think he would have told a white guy not to look at him too, right?
Yeah. Maybe there's a footage of him doing it to Will Myers once in San Diego, but he's probably grouchy about the amount of Latinos.
I know. Here's the thing I got to bring up, though, and this is something that's starting to bother me about society right now. I was talking with a group of my friends. I'm not through Luke Cage yet on Netflix. I've got a few more. Dude, watch it. It is the best show. It is so awesome. Okay. And I was talking with a bunch of my friends how awesome it is. Then I see someone share a post that says. It was like a headline that said, Luke Cage on Netflix is unapologetically black and white people are freaking out about it. And I'm like, what white people? Everyone I know loves this show, and I know the whitest people on the planet. I then looked at the article. The article used 4 examples on Twitter. I clicked on those people's Twitters, and they have like 30 followers. They're complete nobodies. And I think what the internet does now is it is used as an instrument to push any agenda anybody wants. Where am
sure.
I going with this?
Yeah.
I'm going to the point
that
where anytime. Bumgarner's
not racist.
No, he probably is, but the fact that he yelled at Puig, I don't think he yelled at him because in Bumgarner's mind, he's like, that's a man of color, and I got to yell at you because how dare you be on my lawn. I don't think, and maybe Bumgarner is that way, but I feel like we're doing that with everybody. You know what I mean? The Toronto Blue Jays fans didn't throw a beer
right, I'm not
at a play. I know what you're saying, but in that game, a Blue Jay fan threw a beer at Kim, but that wasn't the headline. It was Blue Jay fan throws beer. A beer at Korean baseball player. I'm like, why
oh,
does
really?
This? Yes, yeah, I saw that. At several places I saw people say that.
He did
I saw people
a,
say that
he
on
did
Facebook.
He did a walk-off against them not too long ago.
Sure, but was that because he was... I don't think it has anything to do with him being Korean.
But
I think it has something to do with him wearing an Orioles jersey.
He's really Korean.
Oh, is he one of those?
He's from Korea.
Super Korean. Oh, well, I did not know
His
that.
His name is like all Korean-y.
Very... Kim?
I mean, yeah, dude. That's as Korean as it gets.
What's his middle name? Sung? Yum.
Sue.
I don't know.
Sue.
Kim. Sue.
Sue.
Kim. No, but you know what I mean? I don't like that that's what we're naturally, our natural instinct is someone did something to a person of color. Therefore,
they're
it has
not,
to have racist or racial
they're
motivations.
They're not racist in Canada.
They're not. I love Toronto. It's a great city. And again, I'm not going to be one of those people who's going to, was throwing the beer at him shitty? Fuck yeah, that was.
that
but
was
I'm not going to.
Extra shitty.
Yeah, extra shitty. But I don't like how, oh, so there's, you could, every, all 30 franchises have dumb fans.
Yeah.
Who will do dumb things. All 30 franchises have a few racist fans.
Except for Miami, who doesn't have any fans.
Yes, or Tampa, for that matter, too.
Yeah.
Speaking of Tampa, I looked up Melvin Upton Jr., known as BJ at the time. I looked up some of his numbers. I remember having a really good 2008. 2008, at the age of 23, he had 7 home runs in the playoffs. Look at his ALCS in particular. It was they won in 7 games against the Red Sox. He had a .321 batting average, .394 on base, .786 slugging, for a 1.180 OPS and hit 4 home runs
in a
7-game series.
That's getting hot.
Yeah, he was amazing that year. I remember he had a great regular season. Let me see his 2008 regular season. 2008 regular season. He had, they're not like mind-blowing numbers, I guess.
No.
He was .784 OPS.
.784?
Yeah, not terrible.
Respectable.
That's respectable for a guy who stole 44 bases and was a great defensive center fielder, if I recall.
He's a...
His best year, he had his rookie year, he had an .894 OPS.
His name should be Corey Patterson Jr.
He kind of has very similar to Corey Patterson. Now that I'm looking at these numbers overall, huge strikeout numbers that don't warrant the power that goes with it.
Really? He's not even making contact with that speed? What are you doing?
Yeah, 100. Look at this, 154 strikes, 134, 152, 164, 161, 169.
I think
173.
I think that the reason that I'm so angry with Bumgarner, other than
his ugly wife,
I haven't seen his wife.
not a baseball player's wife.
Madison Bumgarner? Really?
She's
from a small town?
She looks like what someone envisioned when they made that T-shirt, you know, that the bitch fell off, those Harley T-shirts.
Oh, really?
Look, it's a horrible thing to say. I'm not condoning, you know, viewing women that way.
Who's cuter, his wife or Noah Syndergaard?
Oh, if Noah Syndergaard is beautiful. Beautiful human being and way more attractive
than his wife. Who's cuter? Cole Hamels with long hair.
Can I find the picture? Because I want to see your reaction. I want to do like a reveal. Keep talking while tell me more about why you don't like Bumgarner.
I think he symbolizes to me more of the magic thinking that I fucking hate about baseball.
Okay.
He is this magical October pitcher for this magical even year team. Like, guys on ESPN get paid money and make a living off of that type of analysis. It's an even year. It's like, it does, like, because the year ends in a number, that should matter to your analysis of who's better, the Cubs or the Giants.
Yeah, I agree. But you know what? I kind of like it because it splits the stupid points. Every national broadcast will always have two talking points that they just that the rest of the country doesn't care about, that they just drive into. So the Cubs, it's all going to be the stupid curse. And with the Giants, it's going to be that stupid. It's an even year. Right. So they're going to be driving that home as annoyingly as they do the curse. So it splits. Where if we were playing other teams, it would just be about the curse.
Right.
So I kind of, and I wanted the Giants though. I really did.
I did too.
The Mets are, besides Syndergaard, I'm not afraid of anyone on that pitching staff because they're so banged up. But that team has a lot of power.
The Giants?
No, I'm talking about, I just said the Mets.
Oh.
The Mets, no one else on that pitching staff besides Syndergaard scares me.
Gazelman has small sample size good.
Small sample size still, you know, big lights. Maybe, I don't know. It still doesn't scare me. It's not scary.
No.
Bartolo Colon's good. He's not scary.
No. Cespedes was
DeGrom
in a major slump.
Scares me.
Mats.
Harvey, when he was pitching, was scary.
Yeah,
Mats.
Yeah.
Besides Syndergaard, no one else scared me is what I'm saying.
No, Bartolo's
I wanted
a fat
the Giants.
Fuck.
The reason I wanted the Giants, but what does scare me, though, is still the Mets offense. Even though you're right, they were 25th. But in the playoffs, one swing.
Daniel Murphy.
Changes so much. Look at Daniel Murphy last year. Look at Connor Gillespie last night. It's a great example. One swing from
anybody.
Six
home runs on the year. Juris Familia gave up one home run all year.
I know. It's incredible.
So it's just like, of course. But to me,
Giants, their number one home run hitter at 17, they're not a power threat to me.
No, they're not good. I mean, who's Brandon Belt is their hitter.
You ready for this?
Yeah.
You ready for the pitcher? There's Madison Bumgarner's wife. This is my favorite photo of his wife, though. We are such assholes, by the way, right now.
Maybe he's a really nice guy, then, in a Larry David's opinion.
In the Larry David's, he's got integrity. You know what I mean? He married her because he loves her, not for looks, which I respect.
Your initial prognosis of...
I don't think you hate Madison Bumgarner. I think you hate the way analysts talk about the Giants as a whole, and Bumgarner included.
The way that they talk about baseball in general.
Yeah, I get it. I'm on your team with that
so
one,
So for the Cubs to get to end this fucking story, they have to go through, of course, in the first round, they have to go through the magical team.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
It's an even
for this story to end the way that Hollywood would write it, they have to go through magical team, then Daniel Murphy, then the Boston Red Sox. Bring it the fuck on. It's all possible.
We are the ones that knock. There you go. No, I'm pumped, man. I'm pumped. But they're saying now Bumgarner's going game four, not game three.
That surprises me.
That does surprise me. I think they'll move him up if they have to. Game three becomes where the Giants do or die.
I'm all like, what game four? Suck it.
Exactly.
No, listen, the Cubs are the best team in baseball until otherwise proven that they're not.
Yeah. And
it is a short series. And
if the Royals were still in it, you'd have to say Royals because they're the reigning champs.
Yes.
But the Royals aren't. So right now it's who had the best record in baseball, and it's the Cubs by a lot.
Right. I picked the Royals because they won the past 2 years, even though on paper there's no fucking way that they should.
Oh, yeah. Here, let's talk about that. You nailed the National League, I think almost to a T.
Well,
you didn't actually. In my blog,
it was perfect, but apparently
you said you like the Pirates. You like Pirates Mets for the wild card. And you said the Giants.
And I didn't have the Dodgers in.
No, you had the Dodgers winning the division. You nailed that. You had the Dodgers winning the division.
I did not have the Mets in?
Here's what you had. Okay. You had the Cubs in the Central.
Yes.
You had the Nationals in the East.
Okay.
You had the Dodgers in the West.
Wow.
I listened to this last night on my ride home from my long-ass car ride.
Okay.
And then for the wild card, we know no one was 100% definitive on the wild card, but you said Mets for sure.
Uh-huh.
And then you said you were like, I don't like the Cardinals. I think the Pirates are better. And then you said Pirates, and then you were close. You did mention the Giants in a breath. We even mentioned Arizona for a second or two. But yeah, we kind of
remember
both,
that.
They'd compete for a wild card. We both said they'd compete for a wild card.
Yeah.
I had it the other way. I had the Giants winning the division in the West, which I was wrong on. And I had Dodgers, Mets in the wild card with the Pirates and Diamondbacks right there, too.
Okay.
Well, none of us had Florida competing for a wild card.
I didn't think McCutchen would not be good.
McCutchen?
Yeah. And Garrett Cole was not good.
Got injured, too. It hurt him. But he wasn't good while he was
Liriano
pitching.
Liriano didn't have his regular season. That was just a lot of the theory is that they looked up in the standings early on, saw the Cubs, and went like, "Do we really want to fucking do this again?"
I had that. I screen capped it or screenshotted it. That's not a word. I took a screenshot.
Screenshot.
A headline that said Garrett Cole, the Cubs are not the best team in baseball.
Yes.
And I think I remember sending that to you guys, going, "This guy doesn't know how to read a record because we have the best record in baseball." So hence, you know,
one took that seriously. They were like, "Then who is?"
Yeah, pretty much. You know, because the Pirates.
The thing that I will say, the counter argument to me getting the National League basically correct is that the National League had so much disparity that before the season, the line was Nationals and Mets are the only good teams in the East. The Cubs, the Cardinals, and the Pirates are the only good teams in the Central. I know that's most of the teams. But then Giants, Dodgers, Diamondbacks, and no one knew what to do with the Marlins. And then the rest of the teams were supposed to be god-awful.
I think what did the Diamondbacks in was Greinke being overrated, Shelby Miller being overrated, and then A.J. Pollock going down.
AJ Pollock was huge.
Had a really big year in 2015.
Yes, he did.
And, you know, if he's healthy all year round, I mean, you losing your starting center fielder and leadoff hitter that quickly will demoralize a team, especially
with how they could have done with.
I didn't love their bullpen either.
Goldschmidt and their front office.
Goldschmidt was your MVP choice. Let's go on to. We'll tell American League. We had Kansas City winning the Central. We had the Indians as a wild card.
Mm-hmm.
And I also had the Astros as a wild card, so
too.
I was wrong there.
Yeah,
and then I had Boston, and then I got talked out of that. And then I went Blue Jays. I did not have Orioles doing anything.
No.
And then in the West, I had
Texas.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Which I almost said at Houston first, but I misspoke. I did write down Texas originally in my notes. Hold on a sec. Holly, what are you doing? Stop eating your paw. Hey. My dog's eating her paw. Don't do that. You need that paw. And all right, and on the MVP side, do you remember who you picked for MVP?
Correa.
For the American League, yes.
And then Goldschmidt.
And Goldschmidt. I had Machado in the American League.
Did you?
And I had Rizzo.
Oh, man, you were way closer than I was. Goldschmidt had a great year. Correa had a good war. Just didn't hit.
Yeah, where is Correa? I'm looking at the top 25 for war. I'm not seeing him.
I thought he had a good war.
He did. He was 24th in all of baseball, which means he was probably top 15 in the American League.
Yeah. none of those choices were bad, but you were admittedly much closer on.
Goldschmidt had a really big second half.
He did.
He was 29th in war overall.
Remember when Joey Votto was doing bad?
I did. We both mentioned Brian, though. We did kick the tires in Brian when we were talking that. Rookie of the year, we both said Seager.
We were definitely correct.
Who did we say for AL Rookie of the Year? I'm blanking now. We might not have made one.
Why didn't
we
say
so
Mats? Why didn't we say Mats for Rookie of the Year?
I don't know.
Man, we really should have chosen Steven Mats, or at least talked about him.
At least talked about him. But we were right. Corey Seager's going to win Rookie of the Year, hands down.
Yeah.
So I can't remember who we said for the American League. Do we like?
I don't think that we knew anybody.
I don't think we nearly knew anybody. There wasn't any. I mean, everyone, Seager was hyped going into the year.
Yeah. Nomar Mazara? Was he hyped up?
Not to the extent of Seager.
Joey Gallo?
And we live in L.A. too. I think Gallo got. Did Gallo get mentioned? I'm forgetting this part of the podcast.
I don't know.
We were close. We weren't too bad with our. Now let's say what it's really going to be. Obviously, we know the division winners. Who's your AL MVP and NL MVP?
My AL is Mike Trout. You cannot argue anybody else to me. I'm done with that fucking argument.
Yes, I agree. I'll go with Mike Trout as well.
For National League?
Financially, I can go on Chris Bryant.
It's Chris Bryant.
Yes, it's Chris Bryant.
But Freddie Freeman is up there.
Sure. Cy Young.
Which league?
Go. You can say both.
American League, I went Verlander.
Yeah.
I looked at the numbers. It was between him, Porcello, and Kluber for me. The numbers are so fucking close, but the difference is, for me, Verlander who had the same WAR as them, and FIP had a better ERA.
Do you know who you said in our prediction show?
Who did I say?
For the National, you said Madison Bumgarner.
I said Bumgarner, and I said Sale.
And for the Sale, and I said Sale, too. Because when you said Sale, I was like, damn it, I want to say Sale. Now it looks like I'm copying you. And we went back and forth on that.
Right, right.
Because I really did want to say Sale. All right, well, let's see. American League.
Wait, who did you went National League, or are you going to go?
National League for Cy Young, I ended up landing on, who did I say? I think I said John Lester.
You said Lester?
Yeah.
He's a good choice.
He'll finish in the top five.
I went Thor.
No, I'm talking about before the season, who I said.
Oh.
For the actual Cy Young this year, who's going to win it?
Yeah.
Jose Fernandez.
I don't think he'd win it. I don't think he'd win it given it to him.
Well, there's no way of asking him. You know what I mean?
He's my number two.
Yeah, that's why I'm giving it to him. Because he had one less start. And I'm assuming in that one start, because their WARs are right next to each other.
His last start was so good, too.
He had a little momentum going, and he died. So I'm giving it to him because he died. Here's the one thing I realize about...
I like how you have a little bit of a twinkle in your eye as you're like, I'm giving it to him because he died.
Because he died. All right? I don't care. Don't even argue
with
me.
Who's your American League, by the way?
Oh, for this year? Yeah. I don't even know, man. I felt like I stopped paying attention to the American League the last month of the season.
Yeah, but I had to say who it was.
All right, as far as AL Cy Young, I guess I got to say, you know what? I'm, because of NL Cy Young, I'm picking Jose Fernandez for the story.
Yeah.
I'm going to pick Justin Verlander because I used to have a Verlander shirt.
Okay.
So I know I'm matching up with you, but I also match up with you on MVPs because sometimes you got it. The one thing I was going to say, I was thinking about this on the drive home last night.
Oh, Chris Sale could have. Chris Sale's in my top five.
Yeah. Did Quintana finish in your top five?
Sorry, this is a conversation we had elsewhere, but Quintana kind of fell out of my top five. But he's a very good pitcher, Quintana.
You know who was first in, who tied for Verlander for, there was a three-way tie for WAR for pitchers in the American League.
What, Porcello and Kluber?
Porcello, Verlander, Sale, and Kluber. Or no, Kluber finished 5.1.
Yeah,
Sale, Verlander.
Sale's ERA is a little high.
His ERA is 3.34. Porcello's is 3.15. Verlander's 3.04.
Yeah, that's what won it for Verlander for me.
Okay.
Actual results.
And Verlander is the best K rate of those three players I just named.
And I've also been introduced to...
And the most innings, but only by one over Sale. Man, there's a lot of innings over out of these three. Sale, 226. Verlander, 227. Porcello, 223.
That's why their WARs are so high.
If I were the White Sox, I would have just shut Sale and Quintana down in September. Save those innings.
I don't know, man. Yeah, they...
Was it going to hurt their attendance?
Yeah, they have...
Sorry, Dylan.
Sorry,
I mean
Dylan.
To take a shot at the Sox. I'm envious of those. That's a you crazy have... 1-2 punch. If they get... They got to fire their GM, too. Rick Hahn's got to go. Kenny Williams has to go.
Who runs the team?
I don't even know who runs the team. It's one of those things where
Jerry Reinsdorf?
Even though the Cubs' Jed Hoyer has the title of GM, we all believe it's Theo's show.
It's Theo. He's the president of baseball operations.
So with Kenny Williams, is he still, or does he let Hahn make some decision?
Does Kenny Williams make the Drake LaRoche decision?
I feel like that is a very Kenny Williams decision.
Yeah. Or is that just Frazier?
You think Todd Frazier, the new player to the team, so what the fuck is this kid
That's
doing here?
That was the rumor that Todd, I don't know why we're whispering, but Todd Frazier came in and was like, the fuck is this kid doing? I got my dick out.
And it was so weird. Do you think the other players would have been upset about it too, but they were all cool about it?
They were all worried about some stash. Dumb callback for no reason.
No, it made me laugh. It was a solid callback. but you know what I was thinking about last night that is a little sad? Because of advanced statistics, we no longer have those fun arguments of who should win MVP and who should win Cy Young.
Sure, because there's still bozos out there who are saying Mookie Betts and are saying...
I know, but they do that because they need to create the content for an argument, right?
Do you want me to play devil's advocate?
No, we don't have to play devil's advocate. But I still miss that. Remember, like, there was a good time when we were kids, say we were both in grade school or high school together.
Yeah.
We could have had a legit argument
about
where
it is.
You know what I mean? Now we can't really do that anymore.
Because
you just look. You go, who's got the best WAR? Trout in the AL. Bryant, no, there's your awards. End of conversation. What else do you want to talk about? Dummy. You know what I mean? Like, don't you know how to read fan graphs?
WAR isn't perfect.
It's not perfect.
That's the thing. Like, so for the AL Cy Young, let's say, you can have that argument. You know, or, you know, like Cabrera versus Trout in 2012 or whatever it was a decent enough argument that I was persuaded about the Triple Crown because I hadn't gotten woke yet.
Yeah.
You know, so, yeah. It's valuable, throws people off. It's not most outstanding. It's most valuable.
I was thinking about this the other day, too. What if you had a season where Trout and Cabrera, say that season.
Yeah.
I'm just making this up. It's all hypothetical.
Sure.
Say Trout and Miguel Cabrera both had the same RBI opportunities. Equal. They had equal RBI opportunities. Mm-hmm. They both came up to bat with runners in scoring position the same amount of times
there
all the time.
There is a stat for that.
But Miguel Cabrera batting average was like 80 points better.
WE24 tells you.
Is that the stat?
Yeah, that's
is that on Fangraphs?
Or RE24, run expectancy. Yeah, it's under win probability. So win probability added tells you what you added to your team's chance of victory. And then
REW or RE24?
Well, win probability added gives you your chance, the amount that you help your team to win in those types of situations. Like, if you are that person, what is your team's chance of winning now? And then RE24 is, that's clutch.
That's clutch?
Yeah.
All right, I'm going to click on it to see who's the best in the American League first.
Trout.
You already looked this up?
Yeah. He wins on every single thing.
Yeah, it's Trout by a good amount.
But then, like, David Ortiz is second, right?
Yeah.
Run expectancy.
Let's see. That's clutch. Do you know who it is for the NL?
I think it's Goldschmidt.
Really?
I think it's Goldschmidt for run expectancy or WPA. It could be.
You want the lower number on this?
I think higher. No?
No, because it says RE24. Hold on, let me click on it to see.
Run expectancy.
What's the 24 for?
I don't know.
Fucking nerds.
I know.
Just going to throw in random numbers.
Right.
Number one in RE24 is Freddie Freeman.
Yep. I mean, that makes total sense.
Joey Votto's two. Daniel Murphy, three. Chris Bryant.
They're the four. Those are the four best hitters in
Anthony
the league.
Anthony Rizzo, five.
Yeah.
The Cubs have two in the top five, which is impressive.
Yeah.
Now, REW.
I think that's Goldschmidt. Weighted? I don't even fucking know.
No, REW is Freddie Freeman, just ahead of Chris Bryant.
Okay.
Rizzo's number five, Murphy three, Votto four. There's actually a thing that says clutch. I'm going to click on clutch, see what that says.
Okay.
This is for the National League.
I wish that I had...
Freddie Galvis is what? The most clutch player for the Phillies.
Okay.
Guess who's number two is a Braves player.
It's not Freeman?
No.
Kemp?
No.
The new guy, Dansby Swanson?
It's Adonis Garcia.
Yeah, I would have gotten to that.
And number three, the third most clutch player in the National League. I want you to guess this one.
Are you sure you clicked on the right thing?
I am 100% positive. And it goes one, two, three. It's ranking. This is on Fangraphs.
The third most clutch player in the majors or National League?
This is National League.
God damn it. Rizzo.
No, you're close.
Bryant.
Nope.
Addison Russell.
Yes.
Addison Russell. I remember people saying that he was clutch.
And Nick Markakis is fourth. Joe Panik is fifth.
Get Panik out of that.
Addison Russell definitely had to have had a clutch year, right? He had 90-some-odd RBIs, batting 240.
His RBIs were up there, yeah.
I think he was like fourth in the league. This is pretty incredible for a 22-year-old. And what, do you have 22 home runs? That's great, too, for a 22-year-old hitting his age in home runs at shortstop position. Plus, he was second in overall defense for shortstop and barely. It was Brandon Crawford was the best shortstop in the NL, and Russell was just right there.
At the break, I told you he wasn't. I told you he wasn't really worthy of the All-Star game. He is now.
No, yeah, he's definitely an All-Star worthy. Let me check the American League for that clutch stat.
Do you want to do Rookie of the Year? I want to know who your American League is. I know that it's Seager.
It's definitely Seager in the NL. I don't know AL. I really don't know who the standout rookie's been. I'm going to be honest. I've always been a big proponent of, if you don't know, don't pretend like you
okay,
know.
Okay, so I'm going to tell you.
I don't know.
Okay, so Gary Sanchez hit.
Oh, yeah. Dude, it's so insane to give it to someone who came up in August.
He hit 20 home runs in like 50 games.
That is so amazing, though, isn't it?
That's a 61 pace.
Wow.
Then you have Michael Fulmer, who could have won the ERA title if he qualified. Then you have Christopher Devenski, who is probably the third best relief pitcher in the American League for the Astros. I went Sanchez in the thing I just turned in.
Yeah.
Because I can't definitively tell you that Fulmer was the best rookie pitcher, but I can tell you straight up that Gary Sanchez was.
Yeah, I like that. I like the sensation. I like giving it to a sensation, too.
Yeah.
Okay, clutch in the American League is not Trout, most clutch, when you click on the clutch stat.
Is it Poppy?
Poppy is... Wow, I'm not even seeing him close to the teeth.
This stat is like a strange. So who
Poppy is? Where are you, Poppy?
He might not be on there. No Poppy.
I don't even see him in the top 30 in the American
League. Poppy's getting a little I'm not going to do
it. But when I tell you who the number one is, you're going to be like, oh, yeah, of course. I see that. Definitely.
Oh, is it somebody on the Orioles?
Nope.
Fuck. Give me a team.
They're playing right now.
Okay. Donaldson. No.
No.
Oh, Adrian Beltre.
Yep. Adrian Beltre.
All right.
It's according to Fangraph's clutch. And then Yonder Alonso is two. Martin from the Mariners. Jose Ramirez on the Indians. Pedroia's five. Desmond six.
Really?
Andrews seven. So the Rangers got a few players up there.
Elvis Andrews, end of the season hot.
Melky Cabrera for the White Sox, eight. Wow. Every time I turn on the White Sox, which wasn't too often.
It's just Melky getting an RBI.
Because, you know, I don't get there. Yeah, he seemed to come through against the Cubs a lot, too, Melky Cabrera. Still a bad contract. Bad signing overall. The Red Sox have a lot of players in the clutch thing, but they're, not David Ortiz.
That's really strange.
So rare.
They have so.
Because he's like, that's what he's known
the
for.
The Red Sox have six hitters who can beat you. It's crazy.
They have a hell of an offense.
Yeah.
Cool. I like this stat. I like that there's a clutch stat here. Yeah. Is there a pitching clutch stat?
I think that you can do the same win probability stuff with pitching. And that's when you get like Zach Britton is the best win probability pitcher. It's like, yeah, but he comes in the ninth.
Yeah. I mean, that's a little unfair.
Or he doesn't come in at all.
All right. Win probability. What's that stat? What should I click on? WPA?
Yes. That's going to tell you. If this guy's on, you have the highest chance of winning. But I don't know how.
It's Verlander. Verlander, Aaron Sanchez, Tanaka, Quintana, Sale, Happ, Duffy. It's all the
Sanchez?
Pitches you expect. Yeah. Aaron Sanchez is second.
Sanchez has got to be in my top five, too.
Let's see. NL. All right, I'm going to wrap this up, and then we'll tell you what to watch for in the playoffs.
Okay.
Maybe we should do a special Cubs, all Cubs one for our Cub fan friends. Look at this. Win probability, National League. Who do you think's number one?
Lester.
Yep. Who do you think's number two?
Hendricks.
Yep. Number three?
Arrieta.
No, it's Johnny Cueto. Arrieta's number 10.
You know,
Scherzer's four, Fernandez five. Tanner Roark, who's going to have Tommy John surgery next year, just I'm assuming because Dusty Baker's his manager. Noah Syndergaard seven, Bumgarner eight, Julio Teran, who's the guy who I dogged.
Teran had a great
trash.
Second half.
He had a really good season overall.
Yeah.
Hard to take away from him on that.
The Braves ended up the hottest team in baseball, more or less. So
Hamill and Lackey are 13 and 14. All five Cubs starters are in the top 14.
They won a lot. They won 103 games, so that stat's going to go up.
Yeah, totally.
You know.
Oh, wait, there is a clutch stat for pitching. I didn't notice there was a clutch button. I got to click
on
the clutch
button.
Is
this where you put in, like, where you say it's Kenley Jansen or something?
Lester's one for clutch.
God damn.
Dan Straley, too.
Who's Dan Straley?
He's on the Reds. The Cubs actually had him. We got him in the trade for Addison Russell.
The Reds have a clutch pitcher?
We got Addison Russell, Dan Straley. Who else was part of that deal? We traded Shark, Jeff Samardzija, and Jason Hamill. We got Addison Russell, Dan Straley, and Billy McKinley.
I don't know if we've talked Reds pitching.
Johnny Cueto's three, Jason Hamill four for clutch. Really? God, this seems like a flawed stat to me.
Yeah. What is this like with guys on base? I need to see like a glossary that explains
this. I don't know what the hell it is for that.
Yeah.
All right. Okay, cool. Baseball pitcher right now, 7-0 Blue Jays. Good Lord. So, who do you like in each round? We'll just do the division series right now.
Sure.
And,
okay.
Oh, and managers of the year.
Well, my AL was going to be Buck.
It still has to be. You can't count the wild card.
No,
it's a playoff game.
I can see an argument for Tito Francona.
I'm going to go with, let's see, who do I like?
In the AL? My NL is Dave Roberts.
NL, yeah, because of all the injuries.
Because of all the injuries.
27 players in the DL.
That's an all-time ties.
And Francona had a lot of injuries with the pitching staff, so I got to go with that, too.
Yeah. You're going Francona, Roberts?
Yeah.
Okay.
You're going with, basically.
No, I went with Buck.
All right, I like the Blue Jays in this series.
I do, too.
I mean, I feel cheap because they're up 7-0 already. We're not really breaking any news here. I like them winning in five, though. This thing's going five.
The Rangers' rotation is top-heavy with Darvish. I think Darvish is going to come back and win game two. Not that this game is over. It's the sixth, but they're up seven runs. But the Jays have the best staff in the American League playoffs. Their offense is obviously good. The Rangers had like a plus +9 run differential
on
the season.
Really? I did not know that. The Cubs finished with the best of
like
the playoff teams of everybody.
Yeah.
And then who was second? The Red Sox?
Red Sox, yeah.
Yeah.
Like, the Rangers won a lot of one-run games. If not for beating up on the Astros, they might not even be there. I just don't. I never liked them all year.
You got to beat your division.
You do.
That's what you say.
I know. But I am very excited this series is happening because of, I guess.
What do you say about a team that wins the division but has a losing record against their division? Doesn't that bug you? Doesn't that feel cheap, feel dirty, like you're some kind of whore?
You all play the same teams, more or less. I mean, like, doesn't a division play the same division?
I mean, it's pretty within our league, it's not the same. We played the AL West. You know what I mean? The Dodgers didn't play the AL West.
Yeah.
The Nationals didn't play the AL West. The Central played the West this year.
Well,
so,
I'm going to take
that stuff.
And I'm going to take the Red Sox over the Indians just because of that offense and that beat up staff.
The Indians are too beat up to like to win a round. I agree with you on that one. I'm the same way.
And then I'm going Cubs and I'm going Nationals.
Really?
I know all of the arguments against.
I'm going Dodgers strictly because I'm so anti Dusty Baker that I can't. See him winning
the
a playoff
Dodgers
series.
The Dodgers are a very mediocre hitting team, especially against lefties.
Well, who's the lefty going for the Nationals other than Gio Gonzalez, right?
No, just Rourke. Him. Just him, but it's...
And he's not even the guy he used
no,
to
but
be.
It's not like Scherzer sucks.
No, Scherzer's amazing. Scherzer's one of those players. I know, but you brought the lefty thing, so I was going to see
so
if that...
Gio's going to win that
I want to see if that weakness played into a national strength, which it doesn't.
If I were them, I would just load them up on lefties. Like, if
the bullpen-wise, probably. Like, if the Dodgers advance, you know the Cubs are going to try...
Lester.
I wouldn't be surprised if we tried to get Reznicki some innings in there.
Wow. Yeah.
I mean, like, you'd have, like, our starters would be on a short leash. Not our, I mean, like, Hendricks and Lester won't be, but I could see Lackey. If Lackey's struggling in the fourth, I could see him getting yanked.
Yeah.
Madden was very clear about that last year with guys like Hamill and Hendricks, who were both, you know, inexperienced playoff pitchers.
Yeah.
He yanked them early. Hendricks actually won game two for us last year and was really good.
I think Hendricks was underrated last year, and I kept squinting hard at that stat because it made no sense to me how high his WAR and FIP were compared to how people talked about him.
Well, you know what it was? He was one of those guys that third time through, the lineup would get rattled around a little bit. And
because
he gave up
throws,
home runs last
he gave
year.
Up,
this year he gave up, like, no home runs. He gave up three?
No, his weak contact rate is, like, really high.
Yeah.
He throws 87 miles an hour. These guys are going up there, like, chomping at the bit to hit him.
Well, he prepared for that going into the season. He said he knew his weakness was the third, tenth of the order and stuff like that, and he came up with some more ways to just be sharper.
I mean,
sharper.
He won the ERA title despite his last outing.
Yeah, he was great. And I think that last outing, because he had a 1.99 ERA going into it, maybe he saw too much.
It's just like all this even year shit. The Cubs have the best offense in the National League outside of Colorado. They have the best pitching in the majors. They have the best defense in the majors. They really should not have an issue in this series. It's just that people think that the Giants are magical. And I think that...
So what do you like the Cubs in? Or you don't even want to say?
I don't want to say.
Okay.
But Kershaw sucks in October. No. I mean.
He does. I mean, yeah, but that could change at any given moment. You know, maybe missing 3 months of this regular season will help him. For right now, in his brain, it's August, you know, and his arm's muscle memory.
Yeah.
I don't know. I
think Kershaw will come back and have, like.
You still knock on wood, though.
Do I?
You do. I've seen you do it, and I thought...
It's a weird reaction on my part because I don't believe in superstition. I think that it's bullshit. I just do it.
I'm not going to make you make a prediction.
It is a bad habit.
I'm not going to do that to
you. Cubs in four.
My thing is... I agree with you there. My thing is...
Then again, that would be Bumgarner pitching in a back-against-the-wall game in game four.
I think what happens is they're saying game four right now, but I think they move him up to game three.
They're saying four. They're going to
I'm just predicting four because I like four. I could easily see us sweeping, and I see us winning the series, and I don't care how we win it, but that's the way I see it. The Cubs are the better team. And in every facet of the game, the Cubs are the better team. But baseball's a crapshoot. Who knows? I want to get back to this superstition point, and that's how I want to end the podcast, because I want the listeners out there, whoever your team may be, whether you're an Indians fan, whether you're a Cubs fan, whether you're a Twins fan and you're waiting for March to come around again and you're going to get excited. You're counting down the days for pitchers and catchers to report.
Hey, and if you're a Twins fan, those young players, man, they're going to be better. They're going to be a season better.
Baseball, much like life, is about the journey and enjoying the ride. And I let go of superstition when the Cubs hired a man named Theodore Epstein. Theodore Ishmael Epstein. I don't know what his middle name is. I'm Jacob. Well, it's Isaac. Something Jewish, I'm sure. And it was a new school of thought. I blogged about this. It's on my website. I shared it on my Facebook page and Twitter. It's about enjoying the ride. And I used to be, dude, I was the worst. I would knock on wood. I wouldn't leave my seat. I would do all this stuff. I would not answer my phone. I would yell at people. I was very, like how you are. I'm still like that when I watch a playoff game and get very intense. I watched game one last year in Vegas.
I let another man kick my wife out of her seat because she wasn't sitting there the last game.
I like that. I in game one, I watched in Vegas in a sports book. Cubs went down early. I took sunglasses that I was borrowing from my friend and slammed them off of a sports book's wall. No one did anything because they're like, that guy's a psycho. Even though this is Vegas and we're very high in security, let's let him take a lap and calm down. And I went nuts. I was swearing in a sports book, daring people to kick me out. And so I'm still a nut like that. But when it comes to knocking on wood and all this other nonsense, I just don't believe it anymore because, A, it has nothing to do with it. What
no, it doesn't
I say,
help or hurt.
We could watch a no-hitter right now, and I go, no-hitter. The pitcher has no idea I'm saying it. And right. I know there's sports fans out there who are listening who are like, oh, you can't. Stop it. Let's all be adults, okay? There's no boogeyman.
Does he have a no-hitter?
No, I don't think so. Does he?
I don't know.
No, really? I don't know. It's a good question.
I don't even know.
I just jinxed it. No, I just don't believe that. I think you need to just, you got to enjoy the ride. And part of enjoying the ride is losing yourself, having fun, make a prediction, be confident, dance, shake that dick around, have a good time.
I mean, if there's one piece of advice I can give you, shake that dick around.
Shake them balls and dick. Shake them balls and dick. I'm wearing...
it's a two-hitter.
I'm wearing, like, jogging pants, like jersey material mesh jogging pants right now. You could see. And I'm wearing boxers, but they're, like, baggy boxers on me. They're not, like, boxer briefs.
Is this a dick story?
So I get to wiggle my balls around. And it feels good, man. You got to have days like that. You know, I'm actually... I'm getting off the boxer briefs bandwagon.
You must be hydrated.
Oh, I feel very, very... Ooh, a lot of water. That's a hit.
As I told my friend Donkey in high school, if you slow dance with a girl, you got to get a boner, shove it in her hip, show her you mean business.
Yeah, dude. I like that. Let's end the podcast on that. We are going to be at it all throughout the playoffs for you. We're talking about doing a special Cubs one. Maybe we'll go live post game or something like that on one of these games. I don't know which one yet because I don't know where we're watching these games yet. Because
I got hookups for mics.
I want to watch at your place, but I got a friend who's in town, and I'd feel weird bringing a stranger into your craziness.
Yeah.
And you understand that, and I think you actually probably would prefer that. Just stay in tune with us. It's gonna be a hell of an October.
I feel it
in the air. I'm glad it's getting a little chilly at night.
I know that you probably vouch for this person, but I will scare the fuck out of them.
You probably will. She's cool. She's from a big Irish family. She's seen a lot of psychos in her day, but still. All right, that's been. Check out Brito's blog. It's on Angelino's. It's called Angelino in the Outfield. It's at Scoreboard, like your board.
Sports.
Scoreboard Sports.
Yes.
And, guys, keep listening to the podcast. Whatever you want on iTunes goes a long way. Thank you for listening to Comedians Talking Sports presents Comedians Talking Baseball.